Lalakau means love, lover, you know. He's your lalakau. So tell the person next to you, he's your lalakau. Jesus is your lalakau. He's the lover of our soul. He's the bright and morning star. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, look at what he's done for you and for me. The greatest lover, the lover of all lovers. He's my lalakau. I love him. I've lived for him. As a youth, and I can say to you this morning and testify to you, he is the lover of my soul. Oh, what can I put this back in? I'll get it right soon. Can't see what I'm doing here. Okay, it's in. Amen. I'd like to take you on a journey with me this morning. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So buckle up your seats.
Yes.
Imagine you in a Boeing 737.
Yeah. Amen.
And we're going to go on a journey.
Amen.
I used to work with New Guinea many, many years ago. It's like another lifetime. My wife and I actually were both employed with Air New Guinea and served for many years. I would do custom services training and doing flight checks for in-flight crews all across PNG and right within the region in the late 70s. And then the Lord called me one day and said, I have something else for you. And took me on this most amazing journey since the late 70s. And my wife and I got married and in the late 70s, and then our first child, Ronald, came along, and years later, we have five grown-up children, six grandchildren today. Hallelujah. Can I get the first light up there as I'm talking? There we go. Our grandchildren, we've got some grandchildren in Port Moresby, two here in Australia. And nephews and who met up recently in Port Moresby, and you can see they're in their national colors. Trupla Papua New Guinea, or Pikinini, with the national colors, of course, celebrating independence in September 16. And I realized that looking back, church, that the God that I served as a young man for many, many years and still serve today, already in my 60s, still serve today, this God is an intergenerational God.
Amen.
The gospel message is an intergenerational message from father to son, from mother to daughter to grandchildren. And in this season of my life, my mind and my heart is focused more towards the next generation. And so I want to speak to the next generation this morning, younger generations, and to know that this God that maybe for some of you this morning, your fathers and mothers served in the past eras, is not just the God of the past, some distant past, but he's the God of today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's an intergenerational God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and so on. And so we need to understand that intergenerational sense of the message that was entrusted to us from Jerusalem. And so I move when I look at my grandchildren today, in my own heart, I say, God, I want my grandchildren to one day look back at my life and say, this is where it all started for us as a family. Hallelujah. Our great-granddad, Emmanuel Fave, our great-great-grandfather, Emmanuel Fave, should the Lord tarry. I want my grandsons, my grandchildren to one day look back after I'm gone in the presence of my Maker, look back and say, yes, our great-great-grandfather was a lover of Jesus. He loved God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's the legacy I want to leave for my grandchildren. It's not a big house, as important as it may be. It's not the kind of car you drive. But it's a legacy of living a life of faith in this great Jehovah Jireh. It's a legacy of believing God when all else fails, when you do not know where to turn, but know that there is this Jehovah Shammah. He is the great I am who I am. Oh, when you are in that sick bed, lying there riddled with pain, and then realize that he is my Jehovah Rapha, my healer, my Jehovah Kenu, my banner, would shelter me in times of storms. That's the God I'm talking about this morning. Not some figment of man's imagination, but he's as real as you and I are today. And after walking with him and serving him all these years, I can testify of the fact that this God that I serve will be able to see you and sustain you, keep you keeping on until he returns. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in church this morning? Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad I came to church this morning. Hallelujah. 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 By the way, Pastor Ben, what time do I finish? I want to honor your house today and honor God's people today. I mean, I can go on for hours and hours. I'm a teacher. I love to teach the word. I've taught in Bible schools for more than 15, 16 years, head of our theological college in PNG for many, many years with the Assemblies of God. Served under that umbrella for many, many years in the missionary era. You know, the early days, the late 40s, the missionaries came from Australia. Went up northern part of Papua New Guinea and started the first Pentecostal Assembly, the Assemblies of God, 1948. I'm a product of that era. Hallelujah. Anyone was around 1948? There you go. Hallelujah. Yeah, still waiting to be commissioned. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I'm talking to the younger generations today. I want you to appreciate that sense of history. Understand history is important if you want to be prophetic today. Understand that. History is important. History defines who you are and helps you understand where you are today in order to prepare you for tomorrow. Hello? So I'm a teacher. I'm a trained teacher. I love to teach God's word from Genesis to Revelation. I've taught that for years and years and years. It's not just in my head. It's in my heart. The word is in my heart. I'm a living, breathing, walking word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I haven't even preached yet. I haven't even taught. I'm just warming up. Warming up. I have students that love the Word of God. They're all over the Pacific, all over Papua New Guinea, the 22 provinces of Papua New Guinea. I've trained them, commissioned them, sent them out into the harvest fields for years and years, Ben and many others who are now serving God. I got a young lady I found out this morning, Bessie, sitting there. 1986, she reminds me. I was at Sogeri National High School, she told me, and you came and you ministered the word. I'm here today. Bessie, love you. Hallelujah. 86, can you remember? Taking me all the way back. So are you enjoying this ride this morning? Are you enjoying this journey? You know, God is an awesome God. I say again. I say, God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. And then this journey, not only include my grandchildren, but my older sister and husband. The next slide, please. My older sister and husband are a part of this journey. Having served, we've got a next slide on. Yeah. They're right in the far left-hand corner there, Pastors Toro and Lucy Weka, my older sister. They live here in Australia. They have been working amongst the First Nation people for more than 30 years now. And went up all the way to Torres Strait, loved the children, working with the kids, and loved the First Nation people. Went all the way to the Kimberleys, all the way to the Western regions, and lived out there in the bush. Hallelujah. Today they're serving God in Ingham, still going strong. My brother-in-law is in his mid-70s, late 70s, still going on serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love the first people of this, and God called them specifically for the first people, and they've walked the journey, they've walked the miles, they've traveled the distance, and they've lived the life, the word. It's an intergenerational message, church. That's what I'm talking about. It has to impact our family. It has to touch our family, and that message is a message for the family, a gospel message. So my older sister and husband, and they only have one son, actually two children. The older one died years back. The youngest son was conceived in Torres Strait Islands while they were serving the Lord in the Torres Strait. Imagine after 20 years she was barren, and my family and I were in the Philippines. And one day we received the word when I was doing my postgraduate studies in the Philippines, and my sister said to my wife, you know, I feel like Sarah. And she said, I'm pregnant after 22 years. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Amen. And so Torres, his name Torres. Torres was conceived there in the Torres Strait Islands. And today he's a young man in Abigari, teaching young people, serving young people in our school, Catholic school at Abigari, amongst our indigenous people. They love him, Torres Emmanuel Weka. And so it's an intergenerational message. And I like that guy on the screen there, the one that's looking at you this morning. Yeah, actually, he looks a lot younger than great. But I want to take you from where I've come from as a family. You know, God's done so much for us. And as a family, it's been 10 years now God's taken us. We've come to this great southern land. And I've been carrying a message this past 14 years, specifically for the region, as part of what God's been doing in our region. So can we get the next slide, the great southern continent, and but on slide 2. And I just want to give you an understanding of our region. How many of you know that we have they tell us that the Pacific, at the turn of this century, this is called the Pacific Century. And so the focus of our world today is on this part of the world. Hello. Did you know that the Pacific has the largest plate? I'm giving you some information that's going to get you walk away from this place and dig up more, hunger more. We have a big plate. God's given us a huge plate. It's called the Pacific plate. Tectonic, I'm talking about the tectonic plates. The tectonic plates, the plates are under the ocean that the continent sits on. And the Pacific plate is the huge plate. If you ever, I actually have a slide, but I have not put it on this list this morning. And so God's given us a huge vision for the Pacific. The last 30 years, some of us have been carrying that. And I told Pastor Ben, I'll share with the church, because the first time I'm sharing with you here in this church, give you an understanding of this region and what some of us as papas and mamas and leaders and forerunners have been caring for this region, and that God given us a vision for this region from Eastern Pacific, Northern Pacific, the Marianas, the Marshall Islands, all the way to the Southwest Pacific, which is us in Melanesia and Australia, New Zealand included. All the way. See, when the gospel came, it came into Raiatea for those of us in the evangelical traditions, came to Raiatea. Raiatea is an island just off the coast of French Polynesia. I was there some years back, and the gospel came in. So I want to draw from that this morning to help us understand something of the context that what God is saying to us as a region. In Acts 1:8 is an interesting scripture, and if you have your Bibles with you, turn to that passage, because it communicates the heart of what I want to say this morning. Acts chapter 1. But before we get into verse 8, let's look up verse 6 in that same chapter, Acts 1:6. Thank you, my brother. Excuse me. That's the thing about being hooked up like this. Acts 1:6. You remember the story, and the context is the disciples were with Jesus. He's ready to go up after resurrection. And then he's on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples ask him this question. So when they met him, they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? A very, very important question. But in this juncture of our Lord's life on earth, he never directly responded to that question. He left them with that question in mind. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And notice what he said to them in verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. So let's not get hooked up on dates. Let's not get hooked up on the events surrounding us. Let's not get soaked in with the atmospheres that's around us. Let's not get preoccupied with everyday thinking and everyday issues. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set. So basically what the Lord was saying to them back then was that my return is only in the fullness of time. My return is only in the fullness of time. It's only in the time that my Father sets. Are you following what I'm saying? And then this is what he says, and this is the heart of what I want to live with you this morning. He says, but, everyone say, but. But, when he says but, it means take note. But, you will, what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Dunamis is the Greek word.
Yes.
Out of that word is the word dynamite.
Amen.
Can you imagine the power that's within you today?
Oh.
It's an explosive power. Oh, hallelujah. It's a power that is beyond our comprehension that God has deposited in us, the Holy Spirit of God. He's not just a thing. He's not just He's a person.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Amen.
Hello. The Holy Spirit is a person. I talked with him this morning.
Amen. Amen.
I talked to him when I'm driving the distance in my car. He's a person. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will, what? Be my witnesses.
Hallelujah.
In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, that word that came out of Jerusalem has reached the ends of the earth. We are the ends of the earth. That's light there. And so what some of us have been carrying as fathers of our different ministries and denominations and church groups, but what some of us have been carrying the last 30 years has been a massive prayer movement. It started small in Solomon Islands in 1991 on the island of Malaita, what used to be known as the South Pacific Prayer Assembly. Back then, has grown to be a huge movement. Never been videotaped, never been documented, but it has been a growing movement right across. It's been in Melanesia for a number of years, then into Polynesia again, Micronesia. We were in Micronesia, to the Hawaiian Islands. And so what's happened is that God has been speaking to us in this region, that God is in the business of restoring his church.
Hallelujah.
Restoring his people. Hallelujah. Everyone say restoration.
Restoration.
God is doing that in the nations of the earth today. He's restoring the Africans in a big way. Hallelujah. The sound of Africa is hitting the airwaves today. The music that's coming out of Africa, the gospel music, is amazing, hitting our airwaves all the way here.
Hallelujah.
The sounds from the Pacific is coming out. You've heard a bit of that this morning.
Yeah.
And over these past weeks, and here in this church, the sounds are coming out.
Amen.
Pastor Ben is a sound man, hallelujah, when he sits on that drums. He's a different Ben when he's on that drums. Hallelujah. Because he's sending out wave after wave after wave.
Hallelujah.
And God has sent out this wave of the prayer movement. It started so small, just within one main denominational group, but now it's an interdenominational movement, touching every aspect of our lives. From the simple villager back in our island nations, to politicians. that in 1997, God did something phenomenal. If we can go to the next slide, please. God gave us the word from Habakkuk 2:14. And God said, "For the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall," what? "Cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea." And the Lord gave us a revelation of understanding. And the Lord said, "Where is the largest ocean in the world?" Huh? You tell me. The Pacific Ocean. That's why I said to you earlier, we have a huge plate to contain the ocean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And just as we have a, these are stuff that God's just downloaded to our intercessors and Hallelujah. Prayer warriors over the years. We have a huge plate that God's showered us with the water that we all understand as the Pacific Ocean, but there's even a greater water that John speaks about in John 11. Out of your belly shall what?
Oh!
Out of you. Out where? Out from where? Somewhere inside here. Somewhere inside here. Out! Out of your belly. It's not out there.
No.
You see, what the plate does is the plate is just a container. The plate holds the substance. The plate, in some ways, provides the container and the platform for the substance. So what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, He is in you and me, and He wants to explode. He wants to explore. He wants to send you out on a mission.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man. Pastor Ben, I can stand here and talk to you for hours today, but I'm going to be kind to you this morning. So out of your belly shall flow what? Flow what? I'm a teacher. I like to hear my students
rivers.
Responding.
Hallelujah.
Out of you shall what? Flow.
Rivers.
One river?
No, rivers.
Ah. Rivers. Plural.
Yes.
In other words, in whatever situation you find yourself in, you'll be sustained for that situation.
Amen.
Wherever He takes you, He will provide for you. Whatever circumstances you face in life, He'll be there to meet that. And that's the journey that I have been on this past 14 years, living my nation. And God's taken us, left PNG in 2005, and we ended up in Vanuatu. 4 years we were in Vanuatu. In that 4 year, God took me right across the Pacific. To Melanesia, Polynesia, Micro, stood on Marshall Islands and ministered to 500 senators. God sends you to places that I never even dreamed I would be. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water is what? Living water is living water. It's alive. It's life-giving. It sustains, it supplies,
Amen.
It refreshes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if your walk with the Lord is not exciting, then I don't know what it is. That. If your serving God is not exciting, then I don't know why you're doing it. Yeah. Because out of your belly shall what?
Flow.
Flowing means flow.
Yes, flow. Amen.
You can go head dive in the water.
Yes.
You can swim away.
Yes.
And you swim. And you go inside the water. And the water come up this level.
Yes.
As Ezekiel saw the water in the temple.
Oh.
It came, ankle deep and knee high, and it came up, and Ezekiel kept going in the temple, and it went, and it was what? He could not step anymore because the water was up this way. Ayo, when you can't go into the water that deep now, what do? You call up, you try and call up. And when you can't jump no more because you can't touch the bottom, then what happens? You swim. You swim. But don't swim against the current. You swim with the current. Wow.
Amen.
You swim with the, you flow with the current.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, man. He'll take you wherever if you're willing.
Yes.
He'll send you out on your life mission like he has done for me.
Yeah.
In one conference, I said to the leaders I was sharing here in Cairns some time back, I said, in Pidgin, I said, God, you pack it up and sit down for me. You pop and you get, hey, mama, ayo. Yay. What does that mean, God? God, he bar up and sin down below means that God messed up my life. God messed up the way I used to think. God messed up the way I used to look. He messed this man up completely. And then he showed me. In Corinthians, he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has in what? In storage. Papa, God has so much for you and me in storage that that we contain him, we control him instead of allowing him to take a hold of us. You know, I've lived life long enough to say this. Many of us from within our own worlds, wherever you come from, wherever you were born, the languages that you speak. You know, I grew up handling, in my lifetime, three different currencies. The British pounds and shillings. So some of you older ones will remember the British pounds and shillings. I carried one penny. My dad was a businessman, one of the earliest train builder. And so I grew up handling British pounds and shillings. And then when Britain handed PNG over to Australia, I grew up handling Australian dollars. Because PNG was a trust territory of Australia. Give you a bit of history here.
Yeah.
For you young people, you must understand this.
Amen.
So PNG and Australia, we are connected. However way you want to look at it, we are connected. You cannot support us, separate Australia from PNG or PNG from Australia. We are connected. Why? Because of the huge plate that we share. And then I grew up handling, after independence, PNG Kina. So within my lifetime, God has done so much that what God has in store for you and I is for us to allow him to do what he wants to do in us and through us so we can be a blessing to the nations.
Amen.
The last 14 years, God has taken us. And he's shown us, he says, Habakkuk 2:14, for the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the whole earth as the waters cover the seas. And then he showed us Isaiah 60, said, arise and shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine. You see, we forgot as First Nation peoples, we forgot that when God created us, he created us in a way that he wanted us to express our hearts to him.
Amen.
Our dances, our songs, our expressions of worship. And so when you end up in PND nowadays, you find in many of our villages when they worship and they sing, you hear sounds that are unfamiliar sounds if you're a Westerner. If you're a Westerner, can I talk to my Western friends this morning? You'll hear unfamiliar sounds. You'll hear unfamiliar songs because they are songs of that nation. You'll see rhythms that are different. You'll even smell that's very different. And when God did his work in us, he says, I want my people to one day rise and shine the light of my word. Into every corner of their existence.
Amen.
Shine the light of my knowledge into every sphere of their lives.
Amen.
Shine my light into every dark places. Arise and shine. So God gave us, through the prayer movement in the early days, this word to rise. So we had in our different 4 or 5 day events together, we call Youth Arise, Women's Arise, Men's Arise, Fathers Arise. And so everywhere we went in PNG, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, we had all these arises. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you.
Amen.
And out of this, God has blessed this movement. It's not just a regional movement, it's now a global movement. Been to the African nations, to First Nation people of America, right across Europe. And in 2017, we ended up in Jerusalem, Israel. Hallelujah. But I'll finish with that this morning. How many more minutes do I have? Just, Pastor, guide me here, please. No, what, another 15, 20 minutes? Okay. God took us on a journey. So what the disciples asked him about, he said, it's not for you to know, but in the fullness of time, in God's timing, he will restore all things. But did you know that in that restoration, there it's a process. It's not just a one-time thing. There's a process. There's a time capsule involved. And God is in that business of restoring his people. He's restoring nations. He's restoring churches. He's restoring families. Hallelujah. God is in the restoring them to what? To the place that they ought to be. Hello? Not to be, if I can say this with all sincerity, not to be Western. Because I'm looking at a multicultural church this morning. Not to be Western. Papua New Guinean, living in Australia, you are Papua New Guineans.
Yeah. Yeah.
You play no white man, no white Mary Nogat. I told you I'll speak to my countrymen this morning. God made you and I unique. Hallelujah. So be the person that God has made you to be in order to express what he has put in your heart. So the rivers will flow. You're not confined in a box to act like this, act like that. But just be you. Danis lo where you saw a danis.
Yes, sir.
When you in the shower, how do you dance when you're in the shower?
Hey.
Don't feel boxed in wherever you are. I like your pastor because he's kept something of the heart of what we are all about.
Amen.
Kingdom, the kingdom of God. In Bible college, I used to teach this to my students. The kingdom of God is now, but it's also not yet. So there's a reality about the kingdom of God now, because Jesus said when John introduced him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world," introduced him as the kingdom now. Behold, now. Behold, he saw Jesus coming to be baptized in the River Jordan. I was there in River Jordan. Hallelujah. Saw him come and say, "Behold, look, look." That means now. The kingdom now.
Amen.
When John came, he said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Hey, John. Matthew talks about it. He said, "For the kingdom of God is at hand." But a hand is not just something that will happen. It's already here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's already here. It's active. It's working.
Yes.
The dunamis power of God, the dynamite power, the working power of God is an active person. He's there with you. He's talking with you. He's living with you.
Amen.
He's attending to you.
Yes.
And this God that's taken my family away from our home country, you know, when we were on Palm Island, our first year, I said to my children, we raised up our first Independence Day on Palm Island. I raised my PNG flag halfway up a bamboo pole. And we did our little PNG Independence sing along. We had our beautiful music, hallelujah, mi bloglu danis danis. And we had our PNG national, and then we sang that on Palm Island. Can you imagine that? It's a European. And then I joke with this family. I said, when you're on Palm Island, you get outside of our compound, our mission house, you're in Australia. But as soon as you enter the gate and you come into my house, you are in Papua New Guinea. Hallelujah. Must you all acting about there? Just be who you are, who God made you to be. You don't have to feel the pressure. If you're a Chinaman, then be a Chinaman. How long? It's a joke here, Pastor Ben. I know you like jokes. How long is a Chinaman? Huh? How long is a Chinaman? How long? Is a Chinaman. That's his name. His name is How Long. I'm telling you, How Long is a Chinaman. His name is How Long. Oh, my goodness. Slide 6, please. I'm going to just have to tidy up here now. So we have a mission. This is the mission that I am on this past 30 years, Pastor Ben. And more specifically, the last 14 years. That we have a prophetic, that we have a biblical mandate to take this gospel from the ends of the earth. This gospel came all the way from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are the ends of the earth, if you didn't realize that. We are the ends of the earth. We are the last region to actually receive the gospel in the Pacific. The gospel went to China, went to Africa. African family received the gospel before we ever did. Went to Europe. Went to the Americas. Went to Asia. But the Pacific waited until 1796 when the gospel came into our region. So we are latecomers, so to speak, in the coming of the light. That my Torres Strait family, Mifflin, celebrating gospel, or what year, or what time? July 1, huh? July 1, you mean, stop, enjoy him, coming of the light. So we are the last region. So we have that sense of the movement of the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the earth. And so what God revealed to us is that not only we have a biblical mandate or a historic mandate in the coming of the gospel, but we have a prophetic mandate to take this gospel all the way back to Jerusalem. All the way back to the nations that brought it to us. So I remember Papa Michael Malia from Solomon Island. He's the leading prophet of our region. When he saw that in 86, we had a consultation in Fiji. Tala, were you there? For the Evangelical Fellowship of the South Pacific Fellowship. And there was a consultation on missions. And some of our leaders were there. And in that meeting, we in the island leaders, the church leaders, I happened to be the second in charge of my organization in PNG. And we were saying, okay, you sir brought the gospel to us, but we are from the islands. Where do we go from here? And the challenge to us was, okay, why don't you start to pray? Because our island people love to pray. Hallelujah. So we start the prayer assembly in Solomon Islands. And Papa Michael, Malia, and them got that going, and all the way, it's now history. So prophetically, we have been following the movement of the gospel, where it came from. Australians brought it to us, the Germans brought it to us, the Europeans brought it to us. So our mandate as islanders from this region is to take it back to them. Show them the gospel. Showcase the gospel. Hello. Think out of the box. Showcase the gospel. How do we showcase the gospel in New York City? Time you start, Lord, Danis, New Kalap, Lord, 21st Street, Lord, New York. When you start singing and worshiping the Lord in the streets, guess what? They will stand. They'll look around and say, what's going on? Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. So what's going on? When my African brothers and sisters go into the shopping center and I see YouTubes of that as they begin to deliver the gospel, worshiping and dancing to the African rhythms and songs, the whole shopping mall stands still. What's going there? You're witnesses of what he's doing. You are his witnesses. So to present the gospel is not just standing here up here and preaching. There's many, many ways to present the gospel. And you present the gospel however way you are comfortable in presenting the gospel. I save this to my students over the years. Just be you. I like what St. Francis of Assisi said years ago. He's a Franciscan friar, started the Franciscan Catholic mission. And they were actually the missions movement of the Catholic order. And he would say to his graduates every time at the monastery, at the graduation, he'd say, go and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Go and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So however God has connected you, made you to be you, go and be his witness. Amen. Go and be his witness. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, he is with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So Isaiah 35 says, there is a highway that he's creating. We call it the Pacific Highway. Hallelujah. But it's a highway of holiness. Isaiah 35 is a highway of holiness. You're walking in holiness of God. You're walking with God. The root word in Hebrew in holiness is not, purity is related to that very much, but the root word in Hebrew is the word to do with difference. And I know a theologian, I've been in that circle for years and years, but the root word, one of the root words for the word holy in Hebrew is to be different. To be different. To be different. To be different means just be you. Just be you. God has made each one of us what? Different.
Different. Amen.
Imagine What a boring world if you were doing the same thing and looking the same and feeling the same and wearing the same outfit. What a boring world it would have been. But God created a world of diversity, a world of color. Hallelujah. That's why I love my country of more than 850 nationalities. 850 different languages. So I can speak my mother tongue, I can speak English, I can speak French, I can speak. You know, Papua New Guineans, they're telling us in mission circles that Papua New Guineans are some of the most brilliant people in picking up languages. And I've proven this for myself in just a few months in Vanuatu. We were speaking Bishlama. My daughter was already beginning to speak French when we left Vanuatu, Grace. So some of you French-speaking people, just polish up her French. Hallelujah. Pastor Pepe, where are you? Yeah, Pepe, Pastor Pepe, yeah?
Pastor Pepe, yeah.
Polish up her French. But as Papua New Guineans, I am teaching this in my cross-cultural programs. Papua New Guineans, non-Westerners, God has created us and wired us in such a way that our brains can easily pick up languages. That's why five of the largest big churches in UK today are run by African pastors. Hello? Amen. Kiev, Dr. Sunday. When he first went there, I heard his testimony in Singapore years ago, met up with him. When he first went to Kiev, they call him Monkey. What is this monkey doing in Kiev? Where's Kiev? In Central Asia. They call him Monkey. Today, Pastor Sunday runs the largest Pentecostal church in Kiev. That monkey started it, so to speak.
Amen.
Five of the largest churches in UK today are pastored by Africans. In Latin America, a few years back, they cannot even hold churches in a building like this because the churches are too small. So what happened? They started hiring stadiums. So in mission circles, we say what used to be Westerners taking the gospel out, that has changed a few years back. Dr. Peter Wagner talked about the prayer movement is out of control from Fuller Seminary. He said what has happened is that the shift from the West to the non-Western nations taking the gospel out. Hallelujah. The prophetic mandate. So we call it in the Pacific, the Lord said to us, we are in the second half. First half, the Westerners brought the gospel to us. Second half, non-Western nations. Hallelujah. So what happens in a soccer game? My Singapore brother, Dr. George, and I put it this way. In a soccer match, you have a first half and a second half. In the first half, the coaches, after they play, the coaches will meet with the teams during the halftime and give them the final instruction for the second half. Well, we are in that period where Coach Jesus is going to give you instructions for the second half.
Yeah.
How to worship him, how to. Pastor Ben, I love what Pastor Ben, one Sunday we were here, he talked about how God put a burden on his heart when he never really had the burden to be a pastor. But now he's doing a great job. How many of you love your pastor this morning? Huh? Give the Lord a hand for your pastor. He's one of those second half runners. He's heard Coach Jesus.
Amen.
From what he was comfortable with, God pushed him out. And that's why I say God likes to mess us up. I blame God. He messes up pretty good. But you know what? When he messes you up, it's for a greater purpose. A greater mobility, a greater service for the kingdom of God. So tell your friends next to you, I'm going to introduce you to a pidgin phrase, God I bakarapim sindown. God I bakarapim sindown. That means God has messed me up pretty good, inside out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, are you still buckled up in your seatbelts? Okay, now just release the belt slightly, because he's ready to send you off on your mission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As sons of the land, sons of the land, you have, you're the legal custodians wherever you are from. God's placed you. As Australians who are, who may not be the First Nation people of Australia, but as Australians, I'm talking about us as Australians, those of you from the different nations, we were all immigrants at one stage. But the Bible tells us we are all pilgrims anyway. But Australians, I'm saying to you this morning, thank God. Thank God. Maybe some of our history was ugly. It's bad. I'm a student of history. I love history. I teach history. But I say this to my Palm Island families when we're on Palm. We spent 5.5 years on Palm Island, living on Palm Island, living with our First Nation families on Palm, my Borgerman family, my Munbra family. And I said to them, I gave them Jeremiah 29:11. I said, you may have, there may be nothing you may do about your past. Some things you can do, handle, but God has a plan for you.
Yes.
A good plan. A prosperous plan for your future. If you can pick up your life from where you are today, allow God to take you from here to where he wants you to be. You'll have a great future. And I relay this story to a lot of that my indigenous family and friends when I run a pastor seminar for our indigenous pastors up in Townsville and elsewhere, in Eyre, up in Jumbun, Mariba, and a few other places. I say, look, I love the story of Joseph, and I'm going to share this with my First Nation people this morning. The story of Joseph is your story. Genesis 17. Read that story, because Joseph, rejected, had this dream, and our people dream, amen? Had this powerful dream, wonderful dream, but got rejected by his own family, thrown in the pit, went into prison, falsely accused, rejected, isolated, became a slave, had no rights of his own. Slaves back then had no rights of their own. They belonged to their master. That's your story, First People of Australia. And God took them, took Joseph out from the pit, took Joseph out from the prison. Our First Nation people are incarcerated. I see too many of our Palm Islanders in Townsville. I see our young people from our First Nations. Yeah, my heart feels for each of them. And I try to help them. Look at the life of Joseph, you know. Rejected, isolated, then eventually assimilated into an Egyptian culture, a foreign, totally foreign culture from where Joseph grew up as a shepherd boy. Man on the land, out in the farmland, out in the paddocks, the big, gigantic block buildings in Egypt that stands today. That's the First Nation people's story. The story of Joseph. But the day came when, after 23 years later, Joseph stands in front of his brothers. They could not recognize their own brother, the Bible says. Why? Because Joseph had totally assimilated to Egyptian culture. He dressed like an Egyptian pharaoh, a governor of Egypt. He talked with an Egyptian accent. No wonder the brothers couldn't understand him. He was not a shepherd boy with a shepherd accent. He was a ruler with an accent that belonged to Egypt, the Sumerian accent. And he looked different. He dressed different. He had a foreign outfit. Was not a farm boy outfit. Was not a goat herder. But he had a governor's outfit. He had a ruler's outfit. No wonder they could not figure Joseph out. But you know what? The day came when Joseph couldn't hold back anymore. The Bible says all of Egypt heard him weep. Because in the mind of Joseph, he was wrestling and said, these brothers, they gave me away. These brothers, they're good for nothing. These brothers sold me as a slave, and I should just order them to be slaughtered. But he never did. You know what he said? You didn't send me here. God sent me. I love that story of Joseph. You did not send me, but God sent me here to preserve a remnant. And Isaiah 35, a remnant shall come singing. Weeping and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And they'll come singing unto Zion. Hallelujah. That's your story. That's your story, and that's your journey. To be able to know that he is raising up a generation of young men and women. Some of us fathers will move on should the Lord tarry. But he's raising up a generation like Joseph. Amen. Who would stand before kings. Who would administer to kings and rulers of the world. Yes. Joseph's story is a blueprint of what we need to be doing today. In each of our nations. It's of our nations. God's race released a governmental anointing a few years back. And it's an anointing to rule, anointing to step into a dimension where you have total jurisdiction as a ruler. You rule within your sphere of authority as an intercessor, as a prayer warrior. And you understand your space that God's put you in, a space that's going to break through every barrier. No matter what those barriers, whatever the barriers that men will put into place. And I'm speaking to some lives this morning. Whatever the barriers that are in your life today, God's going to put you into a space where you're going to break out of those barriers. Amen. And be able to do stuff that you'll be amazed even at yourself. Because God's preparing a remnant, what I call a remnant, yes, that shall come unto Zion. I'm going to close with Zion this morning. Pastor, just give me another, please, just allow me another 5 minutes and I'll be with the final slide this morning. Can we just go through the other slides there and then just put up the slide on Israel, and I'll close with Israel. In the context of the last slide. Excuse me. That's it. We have a working relationship with Israel today. And there are messianic pastors that God's raising up today in Jerusalem, right in the heartland. In a few weeks' time, I have a council meeting in Nazareth with several rabbis. We're setting up what we call a Jerusalem 2 council of men and women that God's raised up, kingdom-minded, and in Nazareth, the Rabbi Benjamin Burr is the pastor of the first Anglican church in Nazareth, the first Protestant denomination in Nazareth, and he's hosting us along with other Messianic pastors. And what happened was that, I'll close with this story. In 2017, when we went to Israel for the prayer, Pacific prayer gathering, We call it the Welcoming the King of Glory gathering. And it's also prophetic because we ended up in a place called Abu Ghosh, and I had a slide of it, but we won't show it. Is it there? Abu Ghosh, maybe not. But there's a slide, Welcoming the King of Glory. And in that welcome, we went to Abu Ghosh. Now, Abu Ghosh, we never knew that. When they were trying to host this event, they asked us in our Pacific Island, they said, how many are coming? We said, well, in the Pacific, we have problems with numbers. We told, in the Pacific, we can't give you definite numbers. That's our problem in the Pacific. But I said, you're messing us up. I said, sorry, but we can't help you with numbers because it can be 50, it can be 10, or it can be 200, or it can be 500 that can turn up. So anyway, they ended up looking for a place to host the event. They ended up in Abu Ghosh. Abu Ghosh is the very place in the Bible called Kerajim. Kerajim was the very place where the Ark of the Covenant rested for 40 years. So cut the long story short, we are welcome there. You know what? The mayor of that place, Abu Ghosh, it's an Arab community. And the mayor welcomed, a Muslim Arab mayor welcomed the first time they had a Christian gathering in that community. First time. And he said, you made history today in the opening welcome. He said, you've made history. You're the first Christian groups that gathered here in Abu Ghosh. And then he said to us, he said, you are welcome. The Pacific is welcome to Abu Ghosh anytime. You see, we are his witnesses. And from the ends of the earth, we've gone back all the way to Jerusalem prophetically. And we are welcome to the land by the First Nation people of Israel, the firstborn of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Welcome by them. We were protocoled by them. And you know, this pastor said in 2017, they said, you know, we had never been welcomed like this. And we told them, in the Pacific, we have this thing in our culture. You don't go to someone else's land without permission. Hello? You don't go and make your garden in somebody else's land. You're going to die from doing that. So in the Pacific, so we protocol them. And cut the long story short, they welcomed us. And they said, the Pacific, you're more than welcome. You know, soon after we did this thing spiritually, guess what happened? A few months later, PNG government, our prime minister, signed an agreement with the Israeli prime minister, said Papua New Guineans can travel to Israel without visas, get their visas on arrival. So if you're ready, you can come with me in December. Hallelujah. Next year, we're doing another big event and the year after that. But on that note, our response to Israel as Papua New Guineans, our response to Israel as Christians is found in Romans 9, 10, and particularly Romans 11. Because Romans 11 talks about Israel's place in God's redemptive plan. Amen. And their rejection of God is salvation to the Gentiles, the Bible says. But upon their acceptance of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Bible describes in Romans 11 as life from the dead. So in this return movement of the gospel, which is the way we've been talking about, in this return movement of the gospel, the First Nation sons of God, Israel, the firstborn of God, will take their rightful place. Because over the years, Western theologians have replaced them in what is often referred to as the replacement theology. And they took Israel out of the picture. But thank God, God's raising up a movement of Messianic Jews all across Australia, all across Europe, all across America, who are beginning to realize that, hey, this mandate, this gospel was given to us in the first place, but we dropped the ball, so to speak. Now we're going to take it up to prepare the nations before Jesus returns. Amen. That's the big picture. Stand with me. Brother, you blow a shofar. Can you just blow a shofar as we conclude this message today? Hallelujah. And this shofar is a prophetic instrument, by the way. As he blows, I want you to just say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. In Hebrew, it means, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
Hallelujah.
And you declare that. You prophesy that using that winded instrument. Baruch haba. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blow it now. And we are welcoming him this morning. Shema Adonai, Alleluia. Baruch haba b'shema Adonai, Alleluia. Baruch haba b'shema Adonai, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thank you. God bless you today. Thank you, Pastor Ben. You want to pull this off me? Take this off. Just a minute from the bottom.
Hallelujah. You still there? I haven't. I've gone. What a powerful, powerful word this morning. Prophetic. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Papa. Thank you for bringing the word. Thank you for bringing the prophetic word. This is something that has been in my heart for a long time, that we must always remember that this is not just coming and sitting around having church. This is coming and understanding why you are called. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And I want everybody in this room to be not just a call, not just the chosen ones, but the called ones. the ones that are called, the ones that are saying, God, I'm here. Regardless of what's going to happen, I am here. Use me. Use me. And don't say that word with ignorance. Don't pray to God and say, God, use me, with such ignorance in your heart. You pray that prayer knowing that God will use you. He will bypass every thought, everything that you think, every kind of way and your preconceived ideas about how you should do things. He will bypass all that to bring you to a place where you are supposed to be fulfilling His will, His purpose, and His intent. That's end of the story. Every one of us here today. And I thank you, Papa, for bringing this such an amazing presence of God today. Thank you. And so we won't drag it on and on, because I wanted him to come and teach on those areas where he's been operating in the last 30 years. And I want the church to not live in ignorance and walk in ignorance about what God has a plan and a purpose for Israel and the church. And that's us, the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings, but we're also going to take up a love offering for Papa Manu and Mom for their ministry, because they do a lot of itinerant ministry now. They move around a lot, invitation, and I'm glad that we got him before he moved on to Israel. And if God willing, I'll be on that plane with you to Israel, Papa. I'm working on it. Yeah.